Now that you're all seated and comfortable, let's stand up again. And we're going to work on our verses. Matthew 5, 3 through 8 is how far we're getting today. So let's read together. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, now you can sit down. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for today. We thank you for sunshine, and Lord, we thank you for rain. Lord, you are in control of all things, and we just thank you for the beauty that we see around us. Lord, we thank you for this morning, this time together, and Lord, I ask that you would work in our hearts, that your spirit would teach us, that you would draw us closer to yourself, that you would give us greater understanding of who you are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was trying to come up with a famous person, and you think of a famous person this morning. Right behind that door, that famous person is waiting to meet you. What would you do? How would you get ready? If you had a warning, you know, like a day or two from now, what would you do so that you would be presentable? New clothes, clean clothes, probably take a shower. What would you say meeting this famous person? Quite, as was been mentioned, quite a few people were here yesterday cleaning up around, trimming bushes, fresh paint, extra cleaning that doesn't always get done, straightening things. Why? To make things more presentable, to make them, help them look nice. When we're meeting somebody important, we do that too. We do, I mean, some of us, there's not a lot we can do with what we have, but we, as presentable as we can get. We have a relative in our family that always dresses a little nicer than everybody else. And when we go to visit them, my wife always makes sure that the kids have their nicer clothes on, and we're a little cleaner than normal. But we do that. This verse today talks about seeing God, about meeting God in person, not just on the other side of that door, but in our lives. What do we do to get presentable to God? Do our clothes matter? If we've had a shower in the past month, does it matter? It's the inside. And that's what this verse talks about. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Raises really the biggest question, I believe, of our lives. I don't know if you can see it up there, but there, in the clouds, there's kind of a giant question mark. It looks better in the back if you want to turn around. But the question that should be on the front of our brains, that we should think about. Scripture talks about it. It says in Luke 10, a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test. He said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" In John 3, we read about Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the middle of the night. That was really his question. How can I have eternal life? How do we see God? How do we get relief from our guilt, from our anxiety, our frustration? Luke 18 talks about a ruler, again, questioning Jesus, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" How do we get beyond the ceremony, beyond the rules, beyond the cleaning up the external? How do we get to the reality? Is how do we get into the kingdom? The Jews had a legal system. very technical, very specific. You sacrifice this on this day. You do this on this day. You tie that. You wear this. You do this. You don't do that. That was supposed to make them feel better. But it didn't. It didn't work. They were incredibly insecure. Because they knew they couldn't live up to it. They knew they could never follow all those rules. So how are we saved? How do we enter the kingdom of heaven? How do we get eternal life? That's a question that really all of us need. We're talking about eternity. We need to come up with an answer for. How do we ever get it? Is it taking a shower? Putting on clean clothes? Doesn't work. As we go through the Beatitudes, of all the Beatitudes, this is probably the most important. Seems like everything's leading to here, bringing us to this point, preparing us to hear, blessed are the pure in heart. In the Greek, it's very emphatic. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they and they alone shall see God. To inherit eternal life, to see God, we need a pure heart. The greatest of the list. If we have to single one out. Now, they're all important. Obviously, we can't really pick and choose, as we can't pick and choose with God's word. They're all important. We need to understand that we're poor in spirit, that we're unworthy beggars, that we need help. We need to understand that we need to mourn over sin. We need to be gentle, humble when we come to God. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We need to seek after Him with all our hearts. When we do that, God shows us mercy. And once He's granted us mercy, we can have clean hearts. Then and then alone can we see God. It's the purity of the heart that matters. When it really comes down to it, there's only two religions in the world. Did you ever think about that? Think of the list. But we can narrow it down to two. There is one type of religion that is based on human effort and achievement. If you do this and you do that and don't do this and don't do that and you wear this or don't wear that, then you get to go to heaven. That's most of the religions of this world, following a set of rules. The other one is based on what God already did for us. Think of that. Yeah, exactly. You have a choice. You can work and work and work and work and hope and hope and hope and hope and maybe, or God already did it for you. It's finished. All you have to do is accept it. When you think of it that way, what choice is there? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Those who try and see God on their own efforts, it doesn't work. Remember, blessed are the poor in heart, poor in spirit. What is there inside of us that God should even want us in His kingdom? There is nothing. Who are those who enter the kingdom? Who are those who are saved? Who are those who are righteous? Who are the ones that are able to see God? We have the answer. The pure in heart. That's why Jesus came. That's why He lived on this earth, was so that He could go to the cross to accomplish our purity of heart. He paid a debt that He didn't owe. We owed the debt. The debt of sin, because all of us have sinned, is eternal separation from God. What did Jesus do on the cross? As we remembered His body being broken, as His blood being shed, what did He do for us on the cross? He died. The penalty for sin is death. He died in our place. So the question we need to answer, we need to consider is, how do we get to heaven? How do we see God? And the answer is, blessed are the pure in heart. Okay, got that down? Everybody figured that out? Simple answer, right? Everybody know how to do that? How many of you feel pure in heart today? Very good. Because of, you're such a wonderful person, right, Ed? because of Him. Exactly. It's His work. This purity that is talked about here is not an outward observance. We see that in the Jews of the time with their outward observances, their ritual washings, their constant sacrifice, human effort. That is what purity is not. Many times we have the tendency to measure ourselves by others. Well, you know what? I'm better than Ted. So because I'm better than Ted, I'm okay, you know? Everything. Sorry, Ted. Oh, I owe you a dollar. There we go. If we can... two, okay. If we can find somebody just a little worse than us, we're okay. And in our minds, we think, oh, shoot, I'm not that bad. You know, God's going to let me off the hook because somebody's worse. Is that the criteria for seeing God? Is that the criteria for eternal life? No. It doesn't matter whether I'm better or worse than anybody else. All of us have sinned. So what's God's criteria for purity? How's that? What's God's criteria? 1 Peter 1:16 says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Towards the end of chapter 5 in Matthew, verse 48, similar thing that he says. He says, "Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Okay, so that means we have to be holy, we have to be perfect, then we get to see God. No problem there, right? It's not those that follow the external standards. It's those who are pure on the inside. We don't talk much about purity today. It kind of has the connotation of something that's boring, puritanical, outdated. That was for our grandmas and grandpas, not for us. It has a tendency to be narrow-minded in our thinking. The Greek word here is katharos. That's the word that is used for purity. It's for those guys that live down the road at Eagle Harbor. You know, those ones with the long robes. That's for them, and we don't have to worry about it, right? No. Purity is for all of us. It's necessary if we want to see God. The word in the Greek means to cleanse from filth, from iniquity, sin. In a moral sense, it's to be free from sin, free from the defilement of sin. We sang it. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. That is purity, cleansing. It's related to the Greek word kastos, which where we actually get our word chaste from. And again, the idea is cleansing, not mixed, not a mixture of wheat and chaff. How would you like to make a loaf of bread and you've got your wheat and you're ready to grind it? Fortunately, we don't have to do that. But it's got chaff mixed in with it. How do you think that'd taste? Not so good. It's unmixed. It's pure wheat. It doesn't have an alloy. It's pure metal. A heart that is unmixed in its devotion. unmixed in its motivation. The idea of singleness of heart, not double-minded. Next chapter in Matthew, verse 19, it says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Singleness of heart, devotion to our one true master. We can't serve two. It's having a fixed desire on God and only for God. It's more than just pure motives. There's action involved. It's all tied together. There's actually, I found a list of five kinds of purity. There's primitive purity. And that's the purity that only God can have. God is pure, has always been, will always be. It's innate in His nature. It's part of who He is. There's created purity. The angels created pure. People actually were created pure till the fall. There's ultimate purity. That is the promise that we have in the future that someday we will be pure. There's positional purity. Because of what Jesus did, and when we place our trust in Him, our position is pure. And then there's practical purity, living it out day by day. Let's look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Second Corinthians 7, verse 1 says this, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We clean ourselves up to meet someone important. We have to be thoroughly cleaned on the inside to meet God. It's those who are positionally pure because of what Jesus has done for us that see God. They are the ones who will be in His kingdom that will have eternal life. So how does this become ours? Can we become pure? Do we have to go to a monastery in order for this to happen? Do we have to get away from everything? No. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Perfectionism. I'm going to be pure. I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'm not going to say anything wrong. I'm not going to think anything wrong. Okay. Oops. I blew it. Isn't that what happens? We try and we try and we can't. Purity is not something we can do ever on our own. Proverbs 20 says, who can say, I have cleansed my heart. I am pure from sin. None of us. But because of what Jesus did, when our trust is placed in Him, He cleanses us. He cleans us up when we can't do it ourselves. Acts talks about cleansing their hearts by faith, by trusting that what Jesus did on the cross for us did what it was supposed to. It made it possible for us to be clean. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from sin. Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for us. We can be pure because of what He did for us. Pure in heart, people have different attitudes from others. It's seen in a sincere, genuine love for God. Is it perfect? Is it all the time? No. Perfection comes in the next life, not in this one. But it's that heart's desire. I think I've mentioned a man named David Brainerd. He was an early missionary in our country to the Indians. And I've read some of his journals. And he was constantly praying. He was constantly reading his Bible hours at a time. And that you'd read that, I only spent 2 hours in the Bible today. I only prayed for 3 hours today. I am a horrible person. Over and over you read that. That's part of it, because we have God as our standard. That poor in spirit. Purity is seen in a hatred of sin. It's seen in a love for the brethren, for others who are following Christ, who are seeking Him with their hearts. It's seen in a preoccupation with God, living in awe of God and who He is. It's an attitude in our hearts. It's a created attitude, not one we can work up, but the one that God gives us when we seek Him, when we seek His forgiveness and ask Him into our lives. Blessed are the pure in heart. The Greek word for heart is cardia. We get our word cardiac from there. It's not really talking so much about emotions. Again, it's the inner person, the inner man, the inner woman. That's our heart. It involves our emotions. It involves our mind and our will. The heart is a place where everything happens inside of us. That's the idea with this word. We say we love someone with all of our heart. We don't say we love someone with all of our kidneys. That doesn't seem to quite work. The physical heart is our source of life. As long as that heart is pumping, pushing blood through our bodies, we have life. That's what this is talking about, the center of our lives. Proverbs tells us to watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Blessed are the pure in heart, in the very core of their being. Let's look over at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20. It says this, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." The heart. That's where we think, where we feel. It's our inner being. That's the idea here, and that is what has to be cleansed. Only Jesus can cleanse it. Again, in Jesus' day, who were the people that were considered religious? The Pharisees. They looked religious. They acted religious. I don't know. They probably smelled religious. But it was external signs. The Jews were supposed to wear tassels on their clothes. The Pharisees had the longest tassel. They were supposed to wash before a meal and after a meal. And in the middle of the day, they always did that. They were supposed to tithe. They tithed even their herbs that they grew in their gardens. They counted the leaves, and God got every tenth one. They looked religious, but their heart hadn't been changed. The outside was what looked religious. Often true today, too. We see people that on the outside look religious. But what's most important to God is the heart, the inside. Before we can see God, there has to be a major change. And the good news is we don't have to do the change. That's the good news, that Jesus died in our place. And when we repent and trust Him, He changes us. He gives us a new heart. David was called man after God's own heart. And David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." In Psalm 57, it says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast." Psalm 69 says, "My heart is glad." The internal. Not a matter of the external. It's a matter of the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. When we come to that point in our lives, when we turn from sin and we trust in Jesus, what do we get? Greatest thing imaginable. We get to see God. Now, Does that mean we actually physically get to see him? Not yet. Someday. But we will see him. In the Greek here, this is the future. But it's also continuous. It starts now. It's saying we shall continually be seeing God for ourselves. We will continually live in his presence. We will abide in him. We will know him. Not necessarily yet with our physical eyes, but with our spiritual eyes. Many of you have heard of C.S. Lewis, the author of The Chronicles of Narnia. He called these lands that we live in now the Shadowlands. Now, does this feel like a shadow? Double check. Let's see. Nope. This feels solid. It seems like this is reality, but there is a bigger reality outside of this world. More real than this world is. This is a shadow. The spiritual realm is the real thing. Moses asked to see God's glory. Philip asked, Jesus said, show me the Father. When we see God, that is enough. When our hearts are purified by Jesus' blood, we can see him. Our vision becomes clear. I remember in my early 40s, when I turned 40, that was a few years back, I didn't have these. I walked around and I could, let's see, I think there's somebody back there. I could recognize faces and everything without a problem. And I was a music teacher at the time, and I was out on recess duty one day and without these things, and there was a kid in the playground that was messing around. And I started to go, I had to, you know, stop them. They're not supposed to be doing this on recess. And I was going, oh, let's see, you know, who is that? What? I can't recognize their face. So I got to make the trip to the eye doctor. And I got bifocals and my first pair of glasses. Yeah. My mom and I used to have a joke because she had the same thing about 40, her eyesight went too. But before that time, we were perfect. We could see very well, and my brothers were not happy because they all had glasses, but we didn't. So we were the perfect ones in the family. But seeing is important. Seeing clearly, with clear eyes, the truth, the reality, whether we have to have these things on or not. Seeing with spiritual eyes the truth of who Jesus is, what he has done for us, that is what God offers us. Do you want to see God? That's a pretty amazing offer. Do you want to have him be alive in your world, in your life? We have to have a pure heart. We have to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and only Jesus can do that in our hearts. When we ask him, when we turn from our sin and we repent and trust him as Savior, our eyes are opened. Ah, I know who made that tree out there. You know, I also know who made all that snow fall out of the sky this winter. Had to mention it. Or the rain fall yesterday. I can see now, not because of anything I did, but because God cleansed my heart. I'm pure, which, like being a saint, I don't always like to say that, but it's true. When we ask Jesus to wash us, to forgive us, and to come into our heart and life, he cleanses us. We need a redeemer, you and I. We need a righteousness that is not our own. We need a God who will grant us that righteousness by his mercy and give us new hearts. That is what God offers us today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. First question I'd like for you to consider today is, do you have a clean heart? Do you have a pure heart? Again, it's not based on feeling. It's based on, have you repented and trusted Jesus? Have you sought and asked him to forgive you? If you've never done that, it's a matter of prayer, of talking to him and asking him to forgive you and to come into your life. If you've never done that and would like to do that today, if you would just slip up your hand and put it back down so I can pray for you. You want to have a pure heart. Those of us who have asked him to forgive us, to come into our lives, are we living? Are we living with that desire to know him? Are we living with knowing the reality that he has cleansed us and washed us? Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word, the promise, the promises that are there. We thank you for the promise today that when we trust, when we repent and trust Jesus as our Savior, we can see you. Father, help us to live and to walk in that reality, knowing that you are present in every part of our lives. Father, thank you that you will open our eyes to see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure.